The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Every so often, don't totally know what to make of it, but every so often I have the impulse to confess teaching is hard. I'm not desperately seeking sympathy or something. I just have that impulse to say that sometimes, and to say that I'm not sure what the best approach to teaching is. And I do not say that to be self-deprecating or something like that. It's just sometimes feels important to break the fourth wall, you know, as they say in theater, and draw attention to the stage, to the lighting, performers, so on. Joseph Goldstein famously described the difference between being lost in story and mindfulness with a metaphor, you know, that in a movie theater, right? If you're seeing a film, you're in the story of the characters and the emotion and the tension and the surprise and what's going to happen. And it generates, if the movie's good, maybe a lot of hope or a lot of fear. But then at some point, you might recognize that this is just light projected on a screen. And we talk about breaking the illusion of story, but sometimes we watch the Dharma as if that is a story too. But every story has edges. Every story has a stage of finite size. But I don't want to be dismissive of stories. They're important. We like stories. You know, Martha Nussbaum, I often quote her saying, like, you can't really change your heart without a story. Yeah, maybe. And so we want to be able to benefit from stories and also be awake to how stories function in our mind. Story from Tanisara, when she was in robes, a nun, and as I recall her sharing, she Ajahn Chah had just given a Dharma talk, you know, which is kind of wild to think about that. But Ajahn Chah had just given a Dharma talk, and somehow she approached him afterwards and said, "That was a good talk." And Ajahn Chah's response was, "If you think that was a good talk, a bad talk, you didn't understand the talk." That was a wild exchange, right? So I want to reflect on this for a few minutes here together, in order to ultimately like open a space where you might develop a deeper confidence in your own mind. These reflections were prompted by a quote I read from Suzuki Roshi 60 years ago yesterday. And Suzuki said, "You should not stay at the edge of the teaching. You are quite free, but you should enter our teaching. Don't try to understand it just intellectually or by means of experience only. Experience, of course, is important, But a more important thing is the confidence to believe in yourself. And you should be faithful to what you feel and what you think. You should not fool yourself. It's quite all right to say, I cannot agree with you, or I cannot accept the teaching. That is how we make our understanding deeper and deeper. A very beautiful sentiment. And so, this is not me start like announcing some crisis of faith, you know? I know what my consciousness is like, but I also know that I'm unsure about the stories I tell about how practice has unfolded. You know, and the reasons we give for our suffering and our freedom do not perfectly mirror the causes of our freedom and our suffering. The causes, that's the focus of the Dharma in a way, but it's not directly perceivable. And the best way we can say from within a life is this, then that. They seem connected. But the reasons we give for our suffering and our freedom not necessarily perfectly mirror the actual causes. So I try to, try to take feedback and grow and obviously continue practice. But the feedback mechanisms are kind of unclear. For one, there is selective attrition, right? The people who have left are not the same as the people who have stayed, right? Like in biostatistics, there's literally a whole field devoted to the treatment of missing data. The people who have dropped out, we can't get their data. And in a clinical trial, you cannot assume that like a medicine worked the same way for the people who stayed in the trial compared with those who dropped out of the trial. And so this is all a way of saying like, we're the weirdos who stayed somehow. And we should not make broad conclusions based on us. That's the statistical upshot. And I'm being reinforced for teaching in ways that I don't understand. I don't remember exactly what the story was or where I heard it, but I remember something about a college class where all the students organized to see if they could like condition their professor's behavior with their attention. So the professor would like kind of pace back and forth giving a lecture in the front of the auditorium. And the students kind of decided every time the professor moved to the right of the classroom, they would show like great interest, eyes bright, attention poised. And whenever the professor would move to the left side of the classroom, they would feign deep boredom. And at some point, the professor was like wedged in the right corner of the classroom. And maybe they were asked, like, why are you standing there? And didn't know. Right. And that's probably happening to me and our scene in ways we don't fully appreciate, that we're being teachers and the teachings are unconsciously being conditioned by attention or sign-ups or dana or compliments or other discourses adjacent to Buddhism. And And it's hard to track how teaching is shaped by those forces, and if those are forces that we ought to obey or resist. The information environment is much different. Like you used to, kind of have to walk up a mountain to hear teachings, right? And now teachings are on in the background, like smooth elevator jazz, when we're doing chores or whatever. It's like very accessible. That's mostly a beautiful thing, but it's complex. And it puts some pressure on novelty. And so teachers, in a way, teachers are in trouble if you have us on autocomplete and can finish the next sentence. And with the saturation of the Dharma info environment, it puts pressure on novelty in a way. We want to be responsive to needs, of course, to the needs of Sangha, and the kind of consumer satisfaction model has crept into the Dharma realm in some way. And then there's this thing about learning, which is the way we often prefer to learn is not always the way we best learn. And we tend to prefer more passive forms of learning, lecture format. But skill development is often associated with more painful grappling with the material. And perhaps that's what part of there's a lecture, and then the silent periods is the problem-based learning where you're grappling, but don't know. And it seems to me like we probably should be experimenting with some very different pedagogy. That would be wise. I'm almost done with my confession. And then there's this line from Nietzsche, the philosopher Nietzsche, that something like every philosophy is a confession of the person offering it, a species of involuntary and unconscious autobiography. I don't even know what I'm confessing. We can never fully know the kind of unconscious manner in which my autobiography leaks out the disruptiveness of what I cannot yet know. So where does this leave us? I don't know. You're in trouble. You're in the hand, like you got a neurotic Jew on your hands. That's what's the upshot of all of this in some way. Where does this leave us? Kind of a humble place. Yeah, even though humility coexists with confidence. And I live alongside the kind of permanent possibility of being wrong and that the epistemic humility that engenders. And it makes me want to open to the many lineages of wisdom, of art and science and philosophy and literature and the wild ways of knowing. Makes me want to hedge at times to read the fine print out loud. And it also makes me want to offer the Dharma in a kind of impressionistic way. Like not so vague, hopefully, as to be confusing, but to open a space where you can make your own meanings and find your own wisdom. And that is your job, to use what you hear and feel and cultivate the kind of deep confidence to believe in yourself, to believe in your mind. To offer this for your consideration. And yeah, appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. Okay, see you next week.